At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE,
and I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today, and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, as we said, the book, They Call Me Pudge, Ivan Rodriguez with Jeff Sullivan, is Triumph Books. And we have the Hall of Fame catcher in the studio with us. Pudge, welcome. Nice to see you. Mike Francesa, WFAN. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Congratulations on the Hall of Fame.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And obviously, you're making the whirlwind book tour. Pudge will be at Bookends tonight in Ridgewood, New Jersey. I'm sure there'll be a huge crowd from 7 to 9, so he'll be there signing tonight. So you can see him then. And tell me, when they came to you and said, hey, let's do a book, what do you think? You want to do a
book? Well, you know, yeah, of course. I just, it took a long time, obviously, you know, just months just to get it done. It's over 200 and something pages there. So, I mean, we take a lot of time. And it's just a life from Pudge from the beginning. You know, he started playing ball at the age of six all the way. You know, all the way my child, you know, memories and then signing, you know, when I signed professional baseball and just continue on all the way 21 years after that in the big leagues.
Great career, as everyone knows. I mean, 14-time All-Star, 13 gold gloves, one of the great catches, you know, also a million silver sluggers, the classic 2003, which we don't like to remember around here too well, obviously, against the Yankees. But before that, yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, and I'll get to that because that series is some things stick in my head I want to get to you about. But, you know, and you caught every game. But before that, you had the great series against the Giants, the great series against the Cubs. You were brilliant in the postseason. You were unbelievable. You're MVP of the NLCS. So you had a wonderful year. But before that, you're in Texas. You're a kid. You show up there and there's some big guys around there, right? First of all, Nolan Ryan's still there.
Nolan Ryan.
What was it like the first time you caught Nolan Ryan?
Well, I'm going to start, you know, back in 1991 when Bobby Jones called me up in the office when I was in AA. And the day before, I was practicing, and the next day I was supposed to get married on the field in a doubleheader and doing batting practice the day before. Bobby came to the outfield. I was checking balls, and he said, "Pudge, I need to talk to you. Come to my office after batting practice." So I went up, and when I went up, you know, I came in through the door. All the coaches, I was sitting right there, and Bobby Jones, you know, have a chair for me. Let me sit down, and he said, "Well, I have a couple of things to tell you." And the first one is you want to get married. I said, of course I want to get married. That's what I was practicing earlier. And he said, but the second question, you want to be in the big leagues? And I said, of course I want to be in the big leagues. He said, okay, well, be ready for this. You make a choice. Are you going to stay here tomorrow and get married, or you get on a plane tonight and go to Chicago for the first first major league game?
You're a teenager.
I was a 19-year-old kid, and I said, hold on, no, I can delay it. I can talk to her. I can talk to her, and we end up getting married in the following year, and I came to Chicago, and I didn't expect myself to be in the lineup. And the first guy, you know, I was in the lineup the first time, and the first pitch that I catch was Kevin Brown.
Kevin Brown, sure.
Kevin Brown, good sinker. Right.
Yep.
And then the second day, I followed by Nolan Ryan.
How about, tell me what it was like to catch
Nolan
Ryan.
It was great. It was It wasn't a...
Had you seen anything like that before in terms of speed? Had anybody thrown that hard?
Well, you know, Darren Oliver was in the minor league system, left-hander.
Sure, I remember him well.
Left-hander. He was a hard thrower, but nothing compared like Nolan. You know, explosive fastball, 98-plus.
And if he got the curve in his strike zone, forget it, right?
Yeah, at the age of 43, believe it or not, it was, you know, throwing 98.
Never lost that fastball.
Yeah. So... When I when we sit down to do the meeting, Nolan, it was a very short meeting. You know, he came in and he told Tom House, let me tell him what I want him to do. He sit down and I say, Ivan, you know, Pudge, this is the only thing you gotta do. You know, you just go out there, just go back there, and the only thing you need, just put fingers down. You just put fastball, curve, change up, and I'll throw it to you. So basically, that's what I did. I have a great idea, and he ended up pitching 5 innings, win the game. And the second time out that I faced Nolan Ryan, we almost threw a non-hitter. He was supposed to be his 8th non-hitter, and Dave Winfield got a hit to left field in the 8th inning.
Wow, that's unbelievable, catching him. And then you're there, and you're established when they sign A-Rod to this enormous contract. Right. So you see that when he... What were you thinking when you heard A-Rod got $256 million or whatever it was?
The first thing came to my mind, I said, well, baseball is changing.
Yes.
Baseball is changing. And if you see the way the baseball is right now, you know, Giancarlo Stanton, $300-plus million, dollars, and we don't know how much Bryce Harper is going to make, which is... It's going to be unbelievable amount of money. But I like to see that. I mean, baseball is a big industry. You know, it's billions of dollars industry. And if you go to every game today, it's 45,000-plus people, even weekdays, you know, come to see this very good young talent, the players that
and you guys had some good teams in the 90s. I mean, you had some good teams.
Yeah, we got great teams.
Juan Gonzalez, and you know, you had a lot of good players through there.
You know, we had a great team, guys. You know, the power hitter that hit the ball out of the ballpark, plays the game hard.
Palmeiro.
You know, learn how to play the game. You know, we learned how to play the game hard right from the beginning. And I'm not saying that today's they're not doing it. They're still doing it, but. But I'm a fan of baseball now. I've worked for the Rangers. I work on TV doing pre and post game, and I'm enjoy every game. Every time I go to the ballpark and sit and watch 9 inning and see this game play, see this all these young players playing baseball.
When we think of you, first of all, obviously we think of a guy who was a big clutch player, got a lot of big hits and stuff, but also your ability to throw out runners.
Right.
You could throw out runners. Now, people used to say, he only calls fastballs because he wants to throw out runners, right? Yeah, that's it, you know, so that's what pitchers would say, right? And that probably wasn't true. Well, tell me, true at all or not true at all?
Well, it is probably, obviously, I was a fastball catcher.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yep. You want a shot to get these guys.
That doesn't mean that I call every time fastball to throw somebody out.
Right.
I always a big believer of strike one with the fastball.
Strike one on a guy.
You know, it's not other pitch than the pitcher can throw to, you know, for strike than the fastball. So I try when I was a catcher, pretty much all my reports that I give to the starting pitcher is, let's establish the fastball in and out. In, down and in, up and in, down and away, up and away. Because I think that is very difficult pitch to hit. And that's the pitch that
and
you
strike
can
one
control.
Makes a big
you can
difference
grab a two seam.
Right?
You can grab a two seam and you can move them. And you can grab a four seam and you can add speed on it. So when it guys on base, you know, obviously it's not that I call the fastball. It's because the report that I want to keep stay there.
Why are you so good throwing runners out?
Because I anticipate the plays. I always anticipate. I learned that from such early age, very early.
Who taught you? Was there anybody who was a big influence on you as a catcher?
No, that's something that came, you know, that I did it myself, to be honest with you. I always anticipate blocking. I always anticipate throwing. I always trying to be ahead of the game a little bit.
Who was the hardest guy to throw out? Who was the guy when he was on first base, you were like, all right, that's my guy, I'm going to...
Roberto Alomar was very smart. you know, I have a lot of trouble throwing him out because he take big jumps out of the pitcher.
Right.
Kenny Lofton was another one. You know, guys that knows how to steal bases. It's not
get a good jump.
It's not that you're stealing against the catcher. You have to
steal against the
you
pitcher.
You have to steal against the pitcher,
no
get
question.
A good jump.
No
it
question.
Doesn't matter how strong of a arm you have. If you get a big jump, it's impossible.
Let me go to your special year. Now, you won the MVP in the American League. I think it was 99, right?
99.
But you have this unbelievable year in Miami. Now, you go to Miami, right, which was a big deal. You go to Miami, right, and that team has a great year. You have a great playoff. But I want to get to that World Series because it was a fascinating, fascinating World Series. Tell me what you think, and Yankee fans remember it. All right? You go down back to Miami. Yanks are up 2-1. You guys, I remember going for game four, and the whole town was like, oh, the Yankees, they're unbeatable, this and that. And the Yankees, they don't win another game in the series.
No,
I mean, that whole series changes. Game five was the game where Wells got hurt and Contreras came in. You remember that game? And then the whole controversy of game six about should he pitch Beckett on the short rest or not, and he throws a classic shutout. What? Tell me about, you caught all those games. Tell me about what you remember about that series against a team that you weren't supposed to beat. The Yankees were supposed to beat you guys.
We didn't supposed to be the Giants. The
right.
Giants supposed to be the team to win the whole thing. And we able to eliminate them in the first round.
Yep.
And then we went to the Cubs.
And you had a great series against
the
Cubs.
Yes, and beat the Cubs in 7 games.
Yeah, 10 RBIs in that series.
And thinking about beating, just beat the best two pitchers at the time in Mark Pryor and Kelly Wood, you know, in game 6 and 7 in Chicago. That was, I think that was the key for us and give us more confidence just to go to
were
the World
Were you confident
Series.
Against the Yankees?
We, you know what? We always play relaxed because they didn't expect us to be where,
right.
you know, in the playoff anyway. So we take that as a positive thing for us. So when we start the series in the Yankee Stadium, I think what made the series different was the first inning when Juan Pier bunt and then Castillo hit and run, base hit to right field, and then I hit a sacrifice fly to right field 1-0 in less than 6 pitches, you know, that I saw that the fans, like, you know, quiet really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And that to us was like the key because we start ahead. You know, we starting ahead. And when you have a good pitching staff, like the pitching staff that we have, it makes my job easier behind the plate. So, you know, we lost the last two. Yes, we lost the last two. But when we came home, you know, remember we play in a football stadium. And you're talking about 75,000 people.
Yep.
You know.
And that muggy night where Bernie hit a couple of long flies off Beckett that stayed in the game.
Yeah.
That stayed in the park. It was a muggy, rainy. I mean, it was a rain delay.
Yambi,
remember that night?
Yambi was injured.
Yep.
It was out of the lineup.
Yep.
And that was big for us because, you know, having him out of the lineup with back problems.
And then Wells, when it was 2-2. Couldn't pitch. Remember, Contreras had to come in the game, and you guys win that game. And then Beckett with McKeon, the whole thing about pitching. What was your thought about pitching him on the short rest? Were you for pitching him on the short rest?
Well, yes, because he asked Jack McKeon to give him the ball. And that's why, you know, I always say that to me, he's one of the most respected pitchers in the game because not too many pitchers can do that.
That was a great game he pitched, that game 6.
Especially his age. You know,
I was at that game 6 at Yankee Stadium. We went to Florida too. I was at the games in Florida and then went to back to Yankee Stadium and everyone was saying, oh, this is a mistake, you know, saving for game 7. And out and he threw a 4-hitter, 5-hitter, whatever it was, pitched a great game.
Jack didn't think about game 7. He was thinking about game 6.
Yep.
And he's saying the club, let's get it over with. Let's get it over today. So that's why he bring Beckett on. And wow.
Did you know right away? You knew right away that night he had great stuff,
Since
away.
Since the bullpen.
Right.
Since the bullpen, you know, I see his attitude, his face, you know, the way he was throwing in the bullpen.
Can you tell in the first inning, my guy's got it tonight, I'm good? Can you tell right away?
Yeah, because all the breaking balls that I that I call freeze all the hitters. It was breaking so big. You know, it was a really 12-6 big breaking ball. And I remember, I think, I don't know if it was Bernie or Jeter, that we strike one of them out in a 3-2 curveball for a strike.
Wow.
You know, if you freeze him up. And when you see a pitcher that feels so comfortable with a breaking ball they can throw for strike three and two, and plus 99 miles an hour behind that, I mean, that's very difficult to beat a guy like that.
You had played against the Yankees in the playoffs in the 90s. You know, the Yanks had won those series. We know those were tough series. To finally win that World Series in 2003, what'd that mean?
It means a lot. It means, you know, it takes me 12 years, you know, year 13 in my career to win it. I was in three playoffs.
And you were such a leader on that team too in Florida. Yeah, you really were.
Yeah, I was. I go in a little back that I was playing in three playoffs with the Rangers.
Right.
And we got eliminated by the Yankees very quickly in the first round. You know, one series, you know, in three games. The other one, three games to one, and the second, the third one, three games to two. So, you know, that year, those years was the Yankees era. You know, nobody can beat them. And then be able to go to Florida, stay home, sign a 1 year there, stay with the kids. You know, have the chance to take them to school every morning and see my son in the field every day with me when I'm at home. It was a blessing for me to stay. And then what we did, you know, what we accomplished that year, you know, the chemistry that we have all year round and play the game hard, do our best that we can, you know, helping the pitching staff. I helped the whole pitching staff, and I lowered their ERA to every single one of them, you know, that year by 1 point.
And you got so many clutch hits that year, too. Yes. I mean, especially in the postseason,
The way I started the season, I hit 165 the first month and a half. And then I remember that I sit down with Ozzie Guillen. He used to be a third baseman for us that year. And he said, sit down. And he said, what happened? Well, it's time for you to get going. You know, start to overswing, start to be you. You know, you don't have nothing to prove. You're here, you're a good player, and I want you to start to be yourself. So since that day, you know, we went to the cage and working things that he saw that I wasn't doing. And after that, you know, I finished with a great season, 296 and 80 stone RBIs, you know, for the Marlins, and have a great playoff. And win the World Series.
We're talking with, obviously, Hall of Famer Pudge Rodriguez. The book, They Call Me Pudge, Ivan Rodriguez with Jeff Sullivan, is a triumph book. He will be at Bookends tonight from 7 to 9 as the Hall of Famer makes his rounds here. When you're playing, you're going through all this stuff, you're having a great career. You probably don't think that much about the Hall of Fame. But I notice, talking to so many guys who get in later, it's very special.
Absolutely.
It really, you've been out 5 years, you've been away from the limelight a little bit, and you can see how much. I've seen guys who I knew who were tough coaches and tough players in every sport cry when they get in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you never saw really that emotional before.
Well, yeah.
It really, why does it, tell me what it meant to you and why it means so much to finally get in.
It means to me a lot because tough coaches, tough manager make you a better player, obviously. And just be able to came from a small island in Puerto Rico at the age of 16 and establish myself here in America and play this beautiful game since 16 years old, 19 in the big league, all the way into the age of 40, and did what I did in the everyday basis, play the game hard, you know, do the things that I got to do to win for the team, you know, defensively and offensively, and retire, and then wait 5 years. You know, only 5 years. Some of them wait longer than that.
Yeah, you got in first ballot. You got in first,
Tim Raines wait 10 years.
Yeah, you got in first ballot, which is a great honor.
Yeah, just be in the same group, you know, as a first ballot Hall of Famer, second catcher, just me and Johnny Bench. You know, he's my idol.
He was?
Who grew up, yeah, growing up, and just be there, you know, coming this Sunday and just be able to look to the left and to the right and in the same stage and see all those Hall of Famers there is amazing.
Absolutely. We're talking about Pudge Rodriguez. All right, who was the tough, and you were a good hitter, good solid hitter, really good hitter. Who was the one pitcher that you gave you fits? Who was the guy, just killed you?
Everyone's tough.
Yeah, but there's one that just owns you. Who was it?
I might probably say David Cohn was very hard.
David Cohn. Okay.
Because he came at you a lot of different ways. He throws the ball for so many angles.
A lot of angles, yes.
Yes, and a reliever. Also, the place for the Yankees for a long time, Jeff Nelson, too.
Nelson, interesting.
Because
okay.
he throw, you know.
Went under. Dropped down a little bit, yeah.
Yes, and those guys are very difficult guys for me to hit.
Now, who was the good pitcher that you just lit up, you owned? Who was a good there's always one. Who was the guy you really
I always say this. Always the pitcher has the advantage of the game of baseball because let's do the math here.
Yeah, 3 out of 10.
Here. If you have a 600 at-bat season, right? 600 at-bat season is probably 162 games.
Right.
And let's say 600, 200 hits. That's 333. Yeah. That's an MVP.
That's a great year.
And then in those 200, you might have, probably 40, 50 home runs and 130 RBIs. But how many times you out?
400, yes.
So the pitcher always has the advantage of the game. So you're going to see yourself running more to the dugout.
But there's a guy that you just love, that you just saw really well and just hit really hard. There's always a guy.
Let's see who.
Probably some left-hander, huh? Right?
No. He was a right-hander. Every time I face Roger Clemens, I work very hard with him.
He got me
a lot of times, but I got him a few times.
He's a good one too. He's a good pitcher. Great pitcher.
A few times too. Pedro, great pitchers. You know, power pitchers to me. I always love to face them.
Yep.
Because they wanted to challenge you. And sometimes when you challenge hitter and you leave a fastball right in the middle, it's gonna be hit. And I love to face them.
Tell me about your memories of Detroit. You know, you were in Texas. You went to Florida for a little while. Just 2 years in Florida, right? I think just 2 years, right?
No, 1 year in Florida.
Only one. You weren't even there the second year. Okay, 1 year.
1 year.
And then Detroit.
I went 5 years to Detroit.
Right.
Great years there. I was the only one at the time that came to the ball club. You know, that year that I won in 2003, that was the year that Detroit lost 116 games. And I got some friends at home and some of people from my family said, "You crazy? How can you go from a winning to the worst thing in baseball?" And I said to all of them, "It's because that's the place that I want to go. Because I want to win there. I want to win there. And I think it's time to bring that franchise back up again to where it used to be long time ago." You know, and basically, you know, Dave Dombrowski came and talked to my agent and myself and tell us, "Look, you know, if you coming on board, we're gonna give you a multi-year contract and I will promise you that in a couple of years you're gonna have a great team. And in a couple of years you're gonna be back in the World Series." And basically that's exactly what he did. You know, he brought me in. And then he trade Carlos Guillen, bring Polanco, Magly Ordóñez, bring Verlander from AAA, bring Sumaya from minor leagues, and then the rest was history.
He turned it
exactly
around.
2 years later,
yep.
We play against St. Louis in the World Series.
Yep, turned it around, absolutely. We're talking with Pudge Rodriguez. You know, as you go into the Hall of Fame, there's all this controversy. You played with some of these guys. How do you view the guys who you know are great players, Bonds, A-Rod, guys like this, who have had this steroid stuff? Do you think they should be in the Hall of Fame? Do you have an opinion?
Well, you know, I have so much respect for all of them because what they did in baseball, you know, just the athletic part of it, you just kind of like, you know, hitting a baseball, throwing a baseball, play and perform and play, you know, 27 outs is not an easy thing to do. I think I respect them in that way. I'm not a person to probably say it should be in or not, but I think I respect them as a player. You know, hitting over 700 home runs is not easy. You have to.
No, you gotta be great.
You need to have an ability to do that.
No question.
And especially Bonds, you know, the as you know, he only see one pitch, pretty much every game.
Right.
And he don't miss. And he doesn't miss that. And again, you know, all those guys did so good for baseball. Was a big entertainer for baseball, and the fans love to see them. You know, to see them play at the time. So I have very good respect for all of them.
I mean, listen, everyone went through that steroid craze. I mean, Piazza had to wait because people said, oh, you know, they couldn't prove it. They said stuff about you when you lost all the weight. They said you did steroids. I remember when you come back really thin one year, everyone said, oh, the guy was a steroid guy, you see? So, you know, and you addressed in the book, you said you never did steroids. The bottom line is people who didn't do it, how to deal with this stuff too. You know, Piazza never failed a test. He never, and there was a lot of guys talking about it, and then they finally put him in. So there's that dividing line now, and everyone went through this. I mean, you had guys on your team who, you know, you had A-Rod, you had guys who were Palmeiro, you had guys who were steroid guys, and you probably heard about this stuff. So this is something you guys had to live through this whole era.
Absolutely, and as you know, as long as you stay, you know, do what you do, and basically what I did was all preparation. You know, you stay strong because we play this game, and this game is long. And if mental you're not ready, you're gonna fail. You know, as I think to me, that's the most important thing. You know, just you know all this stuff, but the mental part of the game to me is the part of the game that keep you there and play a long time.
We're talking with Pudge Rodriguez. He'll be at Bookends tonight in Ridgewood, New Jersey from 7 to 9. He's got a new book out right now. You work for the front office. You work with John Daniels, I'm
sure. Daniels,
who we know very well, who grew up listening to the show and is a local guy. Do you have any interest in putting a uniform on? You have interest in coaching or managing?
That's a great question. That's something I'm thinking about it, but I think, look.
Would you like to go down and manage?
Well, when the opportunity comes, and it's
catchers make the best. Everyone says catchers make the best managers.
Well, thank you. Yeah,
a lot of catchers are managers. You know, a lot of backup catchers though. Not as many stars. Backup catchers mostly. You know, guys who spend a lot of time on the bench.
I think it's because we study so much about the game. You know, we read a lot. We have to prepare a lot of stuff.
And you got the whole game in front of you.
And the whole game in front. And then I always said when you have a good catcher and good pitching staff, you're going to win a lot of games. And I think that's why probably managers, you know, the catching position, they're great managers. I think, you know, me, I always thinking about it, you know, right now.
So it's something you would consider.
I'm good what I'm doing right now, you know, just working on TV and doing the pre and post games and work with John, but if the opportunity comes, I sit down, analyze it, and see what happens.
Yeah, so I could see that. I mean, that makes plenty of sense. It's and managers get paid well now, which is not a bad deal. So it's
not a big deal at all.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's become obviously very lucrative, and catches. Everyone always says catches make the best managers. Now, here's one thing though: you were a really good hitter. Did you ever think, hey, you were a very big weapon as a defensive catcher, as we know, because especially throwing out runners. But how much of a toll did it take? How much better offensively would you have been if you played another position? How many days were your legs sore? How many days were your hands sore? Did it have a big impact on you offensively?
No, I probably still hit in 296 career.
Right? So you think you would have been the same hitter if you played another position?
Probably, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it didn't take a lot of toll on you.
Because I never, you know, This is true. I'm not lying to you. I never think about hitting when I was a baseball player.
Never thought about hitting?
Never think about hitting. I always focus on my defense.
Right.
I always focus on working with my pitchers, have my pitcher feels good with me behind the plate, do the things that I got to do to win games behind the plate. And that's why you see all these throws, all this stuff that I do behind the plate, because that's
And never spent a lot of time on your offense. Not a lot of time preparing on your offense, huh?
Well, no. Basically, I think that's why I end up with having a great career as an offensive player, because I never think about it. I just kind of like, you know, I was a player that go out there, just put the batting gloves and grab a bat, get loose in the on deck, go there and be aggressive. I was very aggressive here. I did, as you know, I didn't walk much.
No, not much. No.
You know, the year 99.
Right.
You know, I think I walked 18 times only.
Yeah.
So, you know, the more time that you put the ball in play, the better results you're going to have. And that's what I teach today. Today I see so many, you know, thinking too much about, oh, he's going to throw me fastball, he's going to throw me breaking ball, he's going to throw me changeup. And I didn't think about any of that. I just think about seeing the ball, and if it's a strike, make a good swing.
Just be a natural hitter.
Be a natural hitter. And I did that in my career, and I almost end up with 3,000 hits.
Absolutely, had a great, absolutely great career. How would you like to be remembered? I mean, if people say Pudge Rodriguez, what do you want them to remember about Pudge Rodriguez?
Pudge the guy that smiled, Pudge the guy that enjoyed the game, Pudge the guy that respect the fans, and Pudge, I think I appreciate all the support from all of you, the fans, for all these years.
Well, you had a very long career. Did you ever have a serious injury? Not really, huh?
You played
a lot of games.
I have a break a thumb throwing a baseball.
Right.
I hit Mobon's bat.
Right.
And I broke it in two pieces. And I was in 2000.
Right.
The year after the MVP. And then before I broke my finger, I was having a tremendous offensive year too, so I couldn't be back-to-back. But that was the hard, you know, that was one of the tough injuries that I have in my career. But mostly,
You stayed healthy a lot.
Stay healthy.
You did.
Working, you know, prepare myself in the offseason, you know, 4.5 months to play.
Did you work out a whole offseason? Did you work out?
All year round.
No time off right after the season?
Did you play winter ball at all or no?
Did you play winter ball?
Well, for example, if I'm a player right now, I will tell you what I do. In the off season, you know, in the month of November, I don't do anything.
Nothing in November.
Just relax,
right,
and just go travel or vacation with the family. And then I start working out
December
for 4 months, you know, do a program.
Baseball stuff or just,
less, you know,
just
heavy,
or just
lighter,
running or is
running.
It,
I do a lot of running on the track.
But any baseball stuff or not really?
Into probably late December.
Gotcha.
But my program, and I'm still doing it now. I do more bicycle than running on the track.
Right.
But I used to work out the same way than if I'm preparing myself to run 100 meters.
Wow.
For example, you know, just speed and jumps and all that kind of works that all this track and field does on the track, and all this power lifting that they do. That's what I did.
Did you lift a lot of weights?
Say it again?
Did you lift a lot of weights?
No, just basically what I need from my body.
Right.
You know, normally in my legs and my adult abs and just, you know, core. Most of the exercise that I do was core exercise,
right,
to keep my low back strong,
right,
and my leg just to be able to catch 100 plus games, and just doing Olympic weight, just, you know, power lift and cleans and things like that, but not much body weight, no bias, no.
Did trying. You have a set week where you did you catch 7 games in a row ever, or you did you always have a regular day off? How did you work your week during the season?
No, I hate to have. I hate
did you
to
catch
take
day,
day
games
off.
Off the night games and stuff like that?
Yeah, I do that.
You did that, huh?
I do that. I did that a lot because I didn't want the manager to sit me in the bench.
You didn't want to sit?
No, I don't. They asked me if I want to have a day off, and obviously they're wasting the time saying that to me because I always gonna say no. I'm playing. But anyway, they did it themselves because I know that I need a rest. or you know, some of the day off that they give it to me was day games.
Right.
You know, night game after day game, things like that. Okay, but most of the time I was behind the plate.
The book, They Call Me Pudge, My Life Playing the Game I Love. Did you ever play any other sport, or was baseball all the way for you? You grew up in Puerto
Rico,
right?
I played baseball, I played volleyball, I played basketball, believe it or not, but basketball didn't help me to get taller.
It was baseball all the
right.
way. And at 19 in the major leagues, and now on his way to the Hall of Fame. Well, congratulations. Good luck with the book.
Thank you. You'll see Pudge
in Ridgewood, New Jersey tonight at Bookends, and tomorrow in Cooperstown, right? You're going to Cooperstown.
I'm going tomorrow.
All right, so he'll be up there making an appearance too. That's going to be his home, away from home from now on, up in Cooperstown.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really? I can get super specific with dealer listings and see cars based on my budget.
Mom! You can really have it delivered.
Or pick it up.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Really? AutoTrader. Buy your car online. Really?